Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
I'm honored to be here.
He can tell you what you can expect.
I expect you to stick to the deadlines you've agreed to.
I'm straight up mentally ill.
And I expect to be treated as such.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Come on, Maureen.
Maureen.
That's funny.
It's Drexy's Midnight Runner. Drexy's Midnight Runner.
Maureen. Look at her dance. She's pretty good.
Can you do that dance, Maureen? Whatever
Please,
that is.
I danced to this song so many times at Gaffer's Pub in West Orange, New Jersey, when I was at Montclair State. You have no idea. It was my best friend, Sue, and she sang Come On, Maureen, constantly. Hysterical.
That is so funny. Maureen Langan, my guess. And, they're Australian, but you're Irish. And I am. Yeah, you are. So,
Australia's where the fun Irish got kicked into.
Right. What year was that? Was that 86? For some reason, that's what's sticking in my craw here.
Oh, the year? I don't. I'm not good at that. I'm on name.
I usually am. Yeah, I'm thinking 86. But when you were on hold, you heard Tim Sika talk about the best movies for the Oscars.
I did.
Yes, Best
I
Picture.
Did. Timmy.
Yeah. So being a good Irish girl, you probably like Brooklyn.
I loved Brooklyn, even though Uncommon Haman was dissing it. I don't know what her problem is. But the thing is, it reminded me so much of my mother coming to America at the exact same time. It just was heartbreaking. I couldn't stop sobbing through the whole thing. So it's personal for me. And the music was great, and that young actress who starred in that is fantastic.
Okay, how do you say her name?
Nobody knows.
Sharosh.
That's the thing with the Irish. And I'm sure at home they call her Debbie, because the Irish name their
Ronan,
people
right.
Like Margaret, and they call her Liz. Or they name them Bridget, and they call them Nancy.
Like, it looks like Cerise or something, Ronan?
No, it's like Saoirse. Saoirse. Oh.
Saoirse?
Like it makes no sense. Like Saoirse or Saoirse. Yeah.
Well, Ronan. Right. Yeah. That Ronan chick. Right.
The Ronan chick. She's good. But I thought Spotlight was a little boring, even though I think the story's fantastic, what it's covering.
The newsroom,
I thought one person could emote. I worked in newsrooms for years. I mean, not one ounce of emotion going on with anyone.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Rachel McAdams, sometimes when she goes to talk to various people, you can tell, I think she did a good job because she's trying to be journalistic and contain herself, but she's like, really, Father? You know, the one weird priest who kind of admits too much. But I think I'd be in tears working on that story.
But I don't know why Michael Keaton didn't emote either. I don't understand. It was like the most underacted movie in America.
Really?
Spotlight. Okay. Well, you know, I did not watch it, but you know, it's interesting that you talked about working in a newsroom because of all the years of doing radio, this is my first time actually working in a big radio station with a big newsroom. And it's really crazy and it's really different in a fun kind of
way. It used to be bigger.
Yeah, I know, but it's still huge and it's just like a whole different element. It's a whole different world.
Didn't you think they nailed the newsroom though? Like immediately it was schleppy and messy and there was stuff stacked around and people wear horrible clothes.
You didn't get the kiss-ass people who are like, I got that story first. I got it. I'm on it. and like that self-important egomaniac that's always on it first. Oh. Very unlike John Lobertini, my buddy over there.
Well, you know, it's funny because Lobertini and I were talking about this movie and, all things newsroom, and I said the same thing. You know, it's like all these years of working at CHR Top 40 morning shows at radio stations, and the talent world, they're all nuts or crazy and drug addicts and alcoholics and all that. But, you know, you work in the newsroom and everybody's just bat poop crazy. But I love it because, you know, it's busy, busy, busy.
Oh, it's always going. It's always, but I've worked in newsrooms for many years. I was a journalist before. I was a comedian and a talk show host. But you're right. There's so many cuckoo people in it. But it's interesting, too. It's always going. It's always flowing. But people are always trying to beat the other station for the story. And they usually beat them, like, by 30 seconds. Nobody cares. The listeners don't care if you got it at 4:01 or 4:01:30. If you get it the following week, that's a problem.
Yeah, the whole horse race aspect.
Yeah, there is that. Maureen Langan, who filled in for a long time for me when I was off along with Pat Thurston, so I need to thank you for, when you did fill in.
I'm just glad you're doing well. I was worried about you, and I just hope you're healed and that you have many glorious days.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I seem like I'm recovered, so they fixed the plumbing in my stomach.
I hope so.
It was so crazy. I was talking to a buddy of mine in Alaska last night, and he's marrying some woman that he met in Hawaii, of all places, and she moved to Alaska, and I said, what does she do? And he said, well, she's an ICU nurse. I said, oh, well, then you could ask her about the perforated duodenum. He goes, oh, I did. Yeah. I said, well, what did she say? She said, you're damn lucky to be alive. I said, oh, okay. Well, I kind of figured that, but...
what did you have? A broken what? Damn Dewey? What happened?
Perforated duodenal. So, basically, the small intestine broke off from my stomach.
Holy moly.
Holy moly is right.
Well, so, I'm glad you're all right.
Thank
seriously.
You. Yeah, no, they put you back together again, and, as long as you live through it, then you live. So
well, that's good.
There's the rest of the story. Yeah. So
you're better than ever. Look at your svelte new body, hot young thing.
It's a hell of a way to lose 30 pounds. Yes, I'm at my skinniest. Yeah, I love
it. Hey, let me tell you this. I went to went to war stories, but I went for my yearly physical, and the female doctor said to me, "What's this up here?" Pointing to my upper gut. And I said, middle age and red wine. And she said, no, sorry, guess again. Turns out I had a lot of large, benign cysts in my liver, and I was thrilled because they could be removed. It wasn't blubber. I was never happy to find out I had like 10 cysts. I'm like, great.
The upside is.
Take them out. Get that stuff out of there. Yeah. It's all crazy.
In the future, they'll be able to remove that burrito you had for lunch.
I know. Well, they do. It's called bulimia, but I don't want to do that anymore. I'm better now. No, I didn't do that. I'm just kidding, Heather.
Talking about dysfunction. Yeah, all things. It's really crazy. I'll have to look. I'm going to look at my email, but there was this story about comedians working the New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco circuit and, how they make their money and how they make their living without really revealing incomes. But, it was and maybe you can speak to it on the other side because, not only you do a talk show here on KGO, but you are a comedian. By the way, when is your new time?
I have a new time now. After 4 years of being on KGO Sunday nights at 10 o'clock, I am now on 7 to 10 beginning this Sunday, though I'm preempted a bit by some sports event, so I'll be on at 8:30. But it's 7 to 10, and I want my listeners to know, because if those listening now who haven't tuned in, it's fun. It's not this polarizing political crap that we'll talk about Bernie Sanders' dating website or dating site for his followers. We do fun stuff, but we'll cover some of the heavy stuff. But I just tell people, kick back, grab a beer, glass of wine. We're all friends hanging out, and it's a good time.
Maureen's the glass of wine girl, for sure.
Yeah.
Or champagne.
And this is going to work a lot better for me because 7 o'clock is about when I'm grabbing the glass of wine. 10 mm-hmm. o'clock, yes. I've had a bottle and a half. And I fell asleep, and I couldn't listen to you. I'm kidding.
This is the Fireball Girl Scout Cookie Show. So, and I don't mean the Girl Scout cookies that you buy from the Girl Scouts.
Oh,
the rest of you know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
It's a pot reference, people.
Oh, okay.
Okay. For Christ's sake.
All right. I didn't get it. Okay. I'm like, what's happening? But I don't smoke the pot because I get the paranoia.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need a medical condition.
I have the Irish mother on my shoulder who tells me I'm going to die instantly. Like that. You're going to have the PCBs. You're going to die and shame the family. The neighbors will know she did the pot with the angel
goodness.
Dust.
Well, we got to talk about that on the other side.
Exactly, Mom would say. It's a gateway drug. It leads to the angel dust. How was that? That was my first try as your mom.
That was good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that
she
was
didn't think
bad.
It led to the angel dust. She told me it would be in the angel dust, and like the guy around the block who flew off his roof on a skateboard and busted his head, but that's what was going to happen to me. You
well,
know?
Don't do the angel dust. I mean, that used to be a drug, didn't it? Wasn't that a bad drug? That was a bad drug, wasn't it? That was
well,
something horrific.
Was in the pot? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it was like waste quest. Or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want any of that.
No.
But you said you have comedy questions, so I'm happy to answer those.
Okay, good. Let's take a break, and I'm going to look it up, and we'll be back with Maureen Langan. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Fresh, live, local. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. The lady bringing us up is Maureen Langan, KGO's very own. Yes.
Yes. Now, 7 to 10 on Sunday nights after the game this Sunday. Yay.
Woo-hoo!
Well, you should be abused Woo-hoo! Just like I am. I mean, we get bumped all the time. And now it's not only basketball. I mean, it's debate in town halls.
Oh,
and...
hey, stop complaining.
No, I'm not complaining.
But
I'm not complaining.
What? Look, more people are up between 7 and 10 than 10 to 1. But though I love my listeners from 10 to 1, so I hope they tune in earlier.
They'll find you. I know it.
Well, you're doing the fun thing, and I think that's what makes this show and these hours great. Because, you know, people are looking for something different, you know?
Well, can I give a shameless plug? Because if they're looking for fun,
please.
They should come to the Comedy Alley in Ukiah at the Ukiah Conference Center. I'm going to be performing stand-up there next Saturday, February 27th. And then I'm going to be at the Windmill Ridge Winery on March 5th. So these are rare Bay Area stand-up performances.
I love it with Maureen Langan. Okay, so I found the article. We were promising that we talk about this, and this is on Vulture. And it says all the ways comedians make money in New York and Los Angeles specifically,
yeah.
But California. But, you know, so basically the way this story goes, they talk about the comedy boom of the 80s and how different it is and how it can be very challenging for you guys to make, a living. Because according to this, it's very fragmented, right?
Yeah, in terms of when they say it's very fragmented, meaning...
Well, how you make your money, for instance. So they break it down. They looked at all these, I don't know, I have a list of like 20 comedians. So, you know, there's your live performances, but then there are TV roles. There's TV guest spots, or TV staff.
Yeah, I don't have any of those.
Okay, TV producing, TV other, film development, podcasting, radio would be yours.
Yeah.
Other
yeah.
acting, commercial acting. Mm-hmm. Album revenue, stand-up specials, teaching, day job, anything else.
But doing live comedy in a barn, like the one in Nashville.
Oh, there's John Lobertini. Yeah, right, exactly.
John Lobertini saw me perform in Nashville in a barn, basically. Oh, my God. That was so funny. It was all like, yeah.
Recently or a long time ago?
No, this was back in October.
Oh, wow, cool. Did you tell her you were going to be there, or did you sneak in and heckle?
We knew we were going to be there, but I was at a wedding reception, and I was going back to my car, and I heard somebody, and everybody, welcome Maureen Langan.
No way,
and
that's
I knew
so
she was
cool.
going to be there, but I didn't know geographically exactly where. And I walk in there, and she's trying to do this show while these hayseeds are setting up their, you know, their band. And she's talking to them, you know, basically sidestepping them. You know, and it was like something out of, you know, the La Bamba or Jerry Lee Lewis movies, you know, where they did, or the Blues Brothers, where they did a show behind a chicken wire fence. I mean, it wasn't quite
hang
like
a
that.
Sheet
but
up.
Might as well have been.
All right, yeah, with the chicken wire up, so if they throw the beer bottles, you don't get your head removed.
Yeah, I don't. I think all you got out of that was chicken and waffles, right?
Yeah, oh, I did have great chicken and waffles, and I had a great, I shared some grub with John and his beautiful daughter. But he comes by, he's like, oh, Maureen, I just walked by and I heard your name. I'm like, stalker, but whatever. So, like, stalker. Anyway, he followed me to Nashville, and I was complimented. But the thing is, when you were there, there was these rock bands, and then or country bands, rather, and then I have to go up and do stand-up in between them while the next band is setting up, like fat guys with Amish beards. And I'm like, I can't even believe this is my life. But it was hysterical, and we made it work. It was a good time. But to your question, Drex, making a living from straight stand-up is virtually impossible unless you are usually nationally recognized and
right.
fill theaters. So it is very fragmented. And also now it's become so many monopolies in the business. So it's almost like how Barnes & Noble, the bookstore, takes, like, it's hard to be an independent bookstore anymore. So what happens is all these, there's major agencies and companies that are now running comedy, and they are pushing their people only.
Oh, yikes. I didn't know that.
Oh, it's horrible. Oh. So you're seeing talent, I know great talent, who is not getting the stage time anymore because they don't want people above a certain age, just like American Idol didn't want people over age of 28. First it was 24, and then they made it older to 28.
Oh, my God. I'm shocked at that. I would not think that ageism is a big thing in comedy.
Let me tell you this. My agent said to me, I did a TV pilot, and I worked in television for years before becoming a stand-up. He goes, this is really good. What are we going to do about your age?
Ah.
Okay.
I swear, and he's 75 and fat. So right. I said, and he's also a lawyer. I go, well, I could sue you, but then would I still have to give you 10%?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, well, the networks like to know a range. I said, well, this is what you do. You tell them either that I'm considerably younger than Anthony Bourdain, because it was that type of show, a travel journalist comic.
Sure.
Or you tell them I'm the most haggard 24-year-old you've ever met, or the hottest 78-year-old you've ever met. What's your choice?
There you go. So, I hate that. That happened to a friend in radio, of all things. What are we going to do about your age? What are you going to do about my age? I sound the same. I mean, it's just like, what are you talking about? And it's some old gray-haired exec.
No, I can talk about this because that's why I jumped from doing Top 40 to jump over to do this, because you hit 50 and it's like, okay. Because
you're suddenly out of touch and don't know what you're talking about.
Your days will be numbered on Top 40. And by the way, I didn't mind that. So it was like, cool.
The notion is ridiculous.
The notion is ridiculous.
The fact that she couldn't still play rock and roll records. I mean, it was so stupid. I mean, I get it, because with radio, we have to go out and do events and stuff like that. And it can be a very active lifestyle depending on the demographic that the station is going for. But that it was crazy at the time.
Let me tell you something. You put a group of 20 and 30 year olds in there and I'll do fine with them. Just fine.
Right.
There you go.
Because I'm like the aunt that will put them in their place and go, listen to Aunt Maureen. Let me tell you what's happening. Drop out of school right now, girls, because nobody cares about your brain. Nobody wants to screw Eleanor Roosevelt. Dance with poles while you still have the body to do so. Listen to me. Listen to me. When Cher sings, if I could turn back time, that's what she's talking about. So they get it. They so get it.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, if the target demo is 18 to 34, I've been doing it all my life. So what the hell is different? I mean, you know, I'm still eat, sleeping, and breathing the same pop culture that I always have. So why not do it where I'm wanted? And that would be KGO.
Exactly.
Yeah. So right on.
But the thing is, I think they're losing focus here, because I wonder if today, the way the comedy world is, I wonder if somebody like a George Carlin or Phyllis Diller or Rodney Dangerfield could have made it. As brilliant as they are in their own unique ways, it's now how many Twitter followers does she have? That's
right.
What they have.
Oh, I know. All job interviews that have anything to do with media now, it's like, oh, yes, but do you have the power of social media? I got to take a quick break here, Maureen, and we'll be back. Maureen Langan is my guest. Hanging with Langan. She's on Sunday nights from 7 to 10 right here on KGO 810.
Listen to Michael Finney's Fines Monday through Friday at 7:50 a.m. and 5:12 p.m. for the latest in consumer news. Brought to you by Vitucci and Associates.
The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
If you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
So the Mexican government fed the Pope a tremendous amount of stuff about Trump is not a good person. And the Pope just made a statement. Can you imagine? I just got a call. As I'm walking up here, they said, Mr. Trump, the Pope made a statement about you. I said, the Pope. What did the Pope say? I like the Pope. I mean, was it good or bad? Because if it's good, I like the Pope. If it's bad, I don't like the Pope.
You got to respect his honesty. It's like Jesus said, blessed are the poor. Unless they said something bad about me, then screw them.
Maureen Langan is my guest, and she is the host of her own show here on KGO Radio, Sunday nights from 7 till 10. What do you think?
I love that. You know, I gotta love the Trump. He's so out of his mind. He said, you know what? The Pope didn't say Trump is not a Christian. He said, if those are the things you do, that is not Christian.
Right, exactly. And
that's what he said.
Yeah. I mean,
and I have a comedian friend today who said, like, diagnose each of the candidates, Republican or Democrat, whatever their ailment is. And then somebody wrote, regarding Trump, They said, what Hitler had.
Oh, my God. Well, I love it.
And today he's trying to pick a new fight with Apple, you know, saying boycott all Apple products until such time as Apple gives the cell phone information to authorities regarding radical Islamic terrorist couple from Cal. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me ask you this. I am a staunch supporter of our privacy, and I'm not one of these people that are like, hey, I have nothing to hide. Let the government do whatever they want at all. But if somebody has committed a crime, I do not know why their phone cannot be investigated.
Right. Oh, well, you know, individual phone.
Yeah, we were getting into this last night. You can't tell me that the NSA and the CIA together can't break into that damn phone.
And if they can't, we're in a sorry situation.
Right. I think it's all BS, quite frankly.
You know, they're probably using it. The terrorist phone as an excuse to get access to all of our phones.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, no, that's not going to work. You can't scare the American public into thinking, well, this is the only way we can get the bad guys is if we get all of you guys.
Well, look, there was just a story. There was just a story within the past month about this story about, you know, allegedly going on in Anaheim with the police department. I forget what the box is called, but it's basically electronic surveillance. And everybody that was down there at Disneyland, so the story went allegedly that they were collecting everybody's cell phone information. That includes the text messages, the emails, the calls, whatever was going on. They were monitoring. That's illegal. And they got busted. For it, you know, and then they're like, oh, well, we bad, we didn't know. So, you know, when the federal government says they can't get into that damn phone, I don't buy it.
Okay, so the reason that people are against it or that you're against it is because they want to, because the government wants the code that would not only enable the evil people to be found out, but that they would be able to access our phones.
I'm with Tim Cook. I'm with Tim Cook on this. You know, once you give someone the backdoor key, then the good guys can have it. Then that means the bad guys can get it. And you know, and it's a fine line between who is the good guy and the bad guy. Yeah.
But you're not opposed to the government having that phone and cracking it open if they can.
Well, I think that's what I'm saying. You know,
for sure, between, it's evidence.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so, but they should be able to figure it out on themselves.
Tim Cook go through the emails, open it up, and go, look, I found some bad stuff, government. Here, I'm going to forward these. Can he forward them to him? Like, reply all? Can he do something
Well,
like
if we wanted to meet in the middle on this, yes, on that one particular phone, hand it over to the people at Apple. Have them look at it and then hand it back and say, this is what we found, all right?
Well, that's like they did to Hillary. The same people who did Hillary stuff can go over and do the killer's stuff. Why not?
Hey, you're right.
And then forward them. That's what I'm into. I'm into finding out what's in that damn phone without compromising the rest of our privacy. So I think that they should, Tim Cook and his wife should sit down on brunch on Sunday and go over the killer's emails.
His significant other.
Tim Cook.
Right. Well, the story I heard. The phone,
I
don't know. Well, the story I heard that particular that device.
San Francisco, crazy me. Go ahead.
Hey, preaching to the choir. Look, that particular device that they're talking about. I hear that the government already screwed it up, tampering with it.
Well, that's why Tim Cook and his significant other over brunch. Have to go through it and look at the email. Somebody at Apple, somebody can bring in an impartial person. They can sit in the office with Apple. I think this is reasonable. And say, okay, we will not decode this. Will you kindly open it, decode it, and show us? Can you just open the email so we can read them? I think that is warranted, and I think it should be legal because these freaks committed a horrible felony.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, I mean, you know, they want to get to the bottom of it, and why not? And if there's more people connected, sleeper cells, yeah, go get them. I'm down with that.
I came up with the answer. Okay, good.
Thank God. Look at you and I solving the problems of the world. You're welcome, Apple.
Can you guys invent my jetpack so I can fly around the city?
I was an English major. That stuff overwhelms me.
Okay, so we had our fun with Trump. How about Ted Cruz busting out, you know, with I just called to say I love you. Take a listen.
You know, I used to do it when she'd put it on speakerphone in her office and embarrass her. Or you know, I'd kind of do, you know, I just called to say I love you. I just called to say I care.
And I would file for divorce. I would be, I think gives me the creeps.
He is, you know what? It's the weirdest thing. I am much, 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 much more down for Trump than I am for that guy. He scares the hell out of me.
That's right. You know when they have that test, that game they play, kill, marry, or whatever?
Right.
when they say vote for, I would go for Trump over to Cruz in a minute.
Absolutely.
I know Trump isn't evangelical.
No. And by the way, you know, jokes on everybody. He's a Democrat.
Total Democrat. I don't want him to be president. And I know the only time he goes to church is when he gets married. But it's like, Cruz means what he says. I know Trump can't mean what he says. Please.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I think the biggest thing about Ted Cruz, when you hear all of his colleagues, even his Republican colleagues saying that he's an a-hole, you got to believe him. So I know.
Well, Sarah Palin doesn't even like it. Something's happening.
I would say so. Yeah. So do you feel the burn? Are you feeling Hillary? I mean, you know, Hillary and...
You know what? I got to go with Hillary over Bernie. I like Bernie. I think he'd shake things up. I like Hillary, though. I think I don't love everything about her. I think there's some things I don't like, but that would be my choice. So, you know, I would have to go with Hillary over Bernie.
Really? I find that interesting because, you know, it's down to... We had the Hookers for Hillary on last night with Dennis Hoff.
Oh, my God. Don't you love it? I know.
Dennis Hoff's the best.
I think Hillary's more skilled. I do. I do like Bernie. This, what bothers me, I got to tell you, is when I watch a bunch of Republican men who've never had a uterus talking about Planned Parenthood, who totally screwed up those stupid videos. But I believe if you don't want abortions, then you need birth control. So every Republican man telling me there should be no Planned Parenthood is an idiot. And the other thing that bothers me is the first thing they say is we're going to overturn Obamacare. Okay, you may not like certain facets
scary.
Of it, but you're keeping people from going bankrupt who get sick. When Jax, God knows how big your bills were at the hospital, but without
over half a million,
I was, in Stanford for 2 days. It was $120,000 without the doctor bills. You would have to forfeit your home or anything you owned before Obamacare. Like, why aren't people questioning the Republicans and saying, why? Why would you oppose people having that safety net that they won't have to lose their home?
Right on. I'm so with you. Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back with Marian Langan. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Well, the party was nice, the party was pumping. And everybody having a ball. Until the fellas started in calling. And the girls respond to the call. I have a poor white shout out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
All right, Marlene Langan, you can be for Hillary all you want, but you gotta love that. I mean, what the hell was she thinking when she started barking, in Nevada?
God.
I mean, what did she think was going to happen with that?
I thought, why did she bark?
Why
did she bark?
Oh, my God. It was, you know.
Oh, Hillary, what are you doing?
It's a gift to people like me.
It's a gift to more than people like you, but, you know.
Right, well, and you know, I'm kind of on her side, so, you know, you think of the nasty people. I mean.
Well, exactly.
Good luck.
Jeez, Louise. Oh, it scares me. Do you think Trump will really get the nomination?
Do I think he'll get the nomination? I hope so. I hope so on the Republican side. Yes, I do. I think when it comes down to it, unless there's something very nasty that happens with an indictment or something god awful.
And remember that the GOP is working very hard for it not to be Trump. And, well,
I
they
know.
Wield a lot of power.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because my father is such a hardcore Republican and he's for Trump. And but he agrees that the party's going to split. I mean, it's going to split wide open. It already is split.
Well, yeah.
So yeah.
My father is a retired New York City garbage man who for 25 years hauled trash into the back of a truck, a total union guy, dental plan, all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fox got into his brain. Let me tell you something.
That's my dad.
Obama's not out for small business. He's not helping the small business. I go, Dad, you don't even have a GED. What are you talking about? Like,
it's so funny that you said that. Why does that happen to all of our parents? Because my father drinks the Kool-Aid too. Dad, I love you very much. But I mean, his whole thing is Fox News and screaming at the television all day. You know, losing his mind about Obama. I mean, you know, I have said to him before, I said, so what are you going to do when there's another Republican in the Oval Office? What are you going to have to do all day?
I know. It's so crazy. But let me ask you this. If Obama had been born in Canada by an American mother, if his mother, who was from Kansas or Kentucky or wherever she was from, white mom,
Kansas,
just happened to be on a trip to Montreal, oops, baby out, do you think, I mean, everybody would be raising hell because he was born here and because his father was from Kenya. So Cruz is not getting the same.
Well, Trump did the whole thing, the birther thing, too, with Obama, you know, and living
in
Hawaii.
But he's the only one. Fox News isn't doing it.
Right,
people
right.
People aren't rallying.
Well, because, it's pretty much a non-starter because in 1790, that was defined, the fathers of our Constitution defined that as it's cool, like if the mother, as long as the mother was an American. So, you know, that's not going anywhere. But he's a Canadian. He's a Canadian.
Yes,
by the way, so more fun with Hillary here for a second.
I can't. For this matter, these talks are at a standstill. She has a sore throat.
You need some water, madam?
A lozenge.
Does anyone have a Ricola?
I had the utmost confidence in both of them.
Ricola!
Then there's that damn coughing thing.
Well, she does it less than Bernie. Bernie's always up there going, I'm like, oh, Bernie.
Well, he's 74, you know, so. Yeah.
Do you know that he, I brought it up earlier, but we didn't talk about it. I'm going to do more research on this for my show on Sunday night. But Bernie Sanders, there's a dating site for people who follow him so they can connect.
With Bernie or Bernie lookalikes or Bernie guys?
Bernie fans,
people feeling the burn.
People feeling the burn in their crotch.
No, it was so funny when we were talking to Hookers for Hillary and Dennis Hoff's girls last night, and they were Hookers for Hillary. We were kind of joking. It's like, well, you should feel the burn for Bernie. But now, wait a minute, that might not work because that might imply something else.
Oh, that came out wrong. Yeah, how about bunnies for burn?
Right, yeah.
They try to avoid the burn.
Right, yeah. They're not looking for the burn.
Isn't Bernie Sanders like a year younger than John McCain? They're pretty close in age.
Oh.
And gosh, John McCain's age was a big deal.
Yeah, well, here's what's really important about, on a serious topic here for a second. If Bernie becomes the president, then we've got to be very careful who he picks as the vice president because we're one prostate away from the vice president. Yeah, the vice president being the president, right? There so who's going to be the vice president?
Hillary.
Okay, so there's a 5-year deal.
No, Hillary, hell no, Hillary's not going to be the vice president.
No, who would she pick for vice president?
Well, maybe she would pick Bernie.
She'd be smart to do so, yeah.
Right.
No, that's not happening. That's not happening. You guys are being silly gooses. That's not going to happen.
Why not?
You know,
that would be some kind of weird Will and Grace dynamic there, wouldn't it?
I've got it. Elizabeth Warren.
That's what I would like, but that's not going to happen. People hate chicks. They hate women. They're going to make menopause jokes, and they're going to they won't go for one woman.
Right, because what if
they both have their period at the same time?
I think that
ship has sailed.
Her manicured fingernail anywhere near the button that can nuke Russia.
I know, that's what you're going to hear.
Yeah.
You're going to hear.
Please.
Now, this country hates chicks. They went all the way to South Africa to get somebody to host the Daily Show rather than go with a chick. Though he's great, Trevor Noah, but they went that
Isn't that funny? You know, yeah, so you're a comedian. We've got like another minute or two here. But so you're a comedian, but you're so right. Why are there no women on late night television?
Well, because the people who make the decisions are, and I like guys, you know, I like dudes. I'm not a man hater. It's like, no, not at all. But because the guys making the decisions are guys, and they like their own sense of humor. And so then they hire guys, and the guys hire male writers, and those are the people who move through the ranks and continue to get promoted and continue to host the shows.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. Coming up after the top of the hour on the Late Night Late Show wrap-up, Leno showed up on Fallon's set because Fallon's in Los Angeles this week. And it was really kind of funny because, you know, I was always a Letterman dude. But I found him humorous, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm feeling a bit nostalgic. But, yeah, you're right. The thing about Chelsea Handler is, you know, she was there, she had the platform, and now that she doesn't have it anymore, she admits that she hated it.
Right, because she felt closed in doing. She felt she was smarter than what she was doing, and it was inhibiting her. But there's more than that type of a person. Like if you look at the rundown of all the writers on late night talk, you'll find a handful of women. And the truth of the matter is, people find like-minded humor that connects for them. So you're not putting any women on there. You're not getting a different point of view. You're not getting different kinds of senses of humor. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I like the whole mix thing. I mean, that has always worked for me, even with my show. It's like, I love having somebody to play off of.
Well, you look at Taylor Swift, who is fantastic and just got her second Grammy for album, the only woman to ever do so. Everybody backing her up, all her support, everybody there was a guy. Like, if you're so pro-women, how come there's not one other gal up there with you? Like, none.
Oh.
Zero.
Yeah.
That really startled me. I was like, wow, because my niece is 19, loves her. It's like, oh, my God. And I do, too. I get it.
Yeah. But, like, well, why not create another Runaways or Go-Go's or whatever it is? Get chicks in there. They got the chops.
Well, put two or three in there out of the 10, that's all, mm-hmm. Bring other people up along with you, help them.
Please, someone beside Kardashians and Jenners, please.
I'm gonna shoot myself. I can't
stop
take
watching
it.
Them.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I don't watch them. They're just everywhere.
I'm talking about
them. God, I know.
Look at poor Lamar Odom. And now James Harden's having the worst year of his NBA career because he was involved with one of those darn... And
that's
the other
what Dennis
guy,
says, the kiss of Dennis
death. And the, and the other guy, Chris Humphries, who was married to Kim Kardashian for 72 days, he's never been the same.
No.
He was a rising star, and now he's done.
Kanye's gone bat crap crazy. Yeah.
Oh, he's nuts. Nobody loves Kanye more than Kanye. Kanye went on Kimmel, and he said that he was a genius sent to the earth. Come on. It's one or the other.
Yeah,
was that the earth?
Earth?
Yeah.
E-A-R-F?
Yeah, we've got to wrap
a
here.
A lot of F's. I don't know how he spells it.
Because John's got to do news. Maureen Langan, thank you very much. Mucho amor. And you can hear her this Sunday night and every Sunday night, 7 till 10, right here on KGO 810, okay?
Yeah, thanks, you guys. Go to my website, MaureenLangan.com. You'll see...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.